Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, everybody. We are so happy to be here this morning. We're excited to come back home. We used to live at 91st and Huron up here, and so this is our neck of the woods. We're really happy to be here to celebrate and to share the message that the Lord has laid on our heart for this morning. We're titling the message this morning, World Impact, and we're going to share a little bit about what the Lord is doing around the world, what he's doing through the work that you guys have done to partner with us around the world. And also we want to give you a couple of tools today, because the world impact isn't just what's happening on the other side of the world. The world impact is how we're all going to leave this room today. We're going to be changing the world for the kingdom. Before we go into that, though, I'd like to just pray, if you would join me. Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your family that you brought us into. Thank you for this church family here, and thank you for the word that you have prepared for us for this morning. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come, that you would teach us, that you would transform us, that you would bring your word, your revelation, and your truth, even as we examine your word together. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, so we're going to start this morning by looking at one of our key passages. We're just going to read it through first, and then we're going to break it down a little bit. So one of the key passages for today is Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest and send out laborers into his harvest." All right, so let's just break down that first section. I don't know if this happens to any of you, but sometimes when you read like a verse that you've read a million times, or maybe even if it's your first time, you kind of read this whole verse and it's a little bit different than how normal people talk. It just kind of goes, phew, right over your head, and you just kind of go, what was that verse about again? There was a lot of things in there. And so we want to break it out and just say, what was each section about and what's it really saying? Okay, so we see the very first section is verse 35. And this section is talking about Jesus, and it's just a summary of the things that he was doing and all of the work that he was doing. He did many different things, but they were all kind of categorized into these three topics. So the first thing he did was he went and he was teaching in the synagogues. Now, there's a key here. When it says he's teaching in the synagogues were for the Jewish people. The Jewish people had known God for centuries. They knew God. They already had a relationship with God. But he was teaching in the synagogues. He was bringing new information. So he was saying to the people who already know God, you guys still need more information. Maybe that's kind of where some of you are. You already know God. You've already had a relationship with him for a long time. But that doesn't mean that you don't need new information to continue growing. So Jesus was saying, hey, you guys know God, but you need more. We need to continue growing that relationship, and you need some new information to do that. And then the second thing he did was he went outside of the synagogue and to the people who hadn't heard, who didn't know, have an intimate relationship with God already, and he's proclaiming to them the gospel, which is also, we know, is the good news. The good news that things don't look as bleak as they seem, that there is a way of truth and of life, and you come into this way, and it's going to transform your life. And then the third thing that Jesus was doing was he was healing. He was seeing all of the broken places in our world, the broken bodies and the broken emotions, all of the painful things that he was seeing around us, and he was saying, I have healing for that, healing for our bodies, healing for our emotions, healing for our spirits. He had an answer for all of those things.
Jesus, these three cores of Jesus' ministry, teaching, proclaiming the good news and healing, they weren't accidental. He was very intentional with why he brought the kingdom in this way. The teaching was brought because it brings, when we get new information and we're humble enough to receive that information, then we get what the Bible calls revelation. It means the light goes on. Something new has happened. So he wasn't just teaching, he wasn't just transferring information. He was bringing information that brought revelation to people's lives. That revelation then is also spoken out in the proclaiming of the good news. As Lori said, when you proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, gospel means good news. Okay? A lot of times what we proclaim out there isn't good news. But what Jesus is proclaiming is the good news about what the kingdom of God is really like. And when we understand what the kingdom of God is really like, this is a kingdom that includes, this is a kingdom that calls in, this is a kingdom that heals and brings life and freedom. When we understand what that kingdom is like, then we're transformed. So that proclamation brings transformation. And then the third part is the healing. And we all have, from our own pasts and from the ages that we've reached, pains and hurts in our lives, emotional, spiritual, physical. And Jesus went around healing them. He healed these people all around him so that they could have freedom. Because when we have a new revelation about what God is, and when we're transformed from the inside, when we understand who we are, and when we're set free from the things that used to keep us back, then we're released to bring light and kingdom to the world around us. Then we're released to bring a world impact. We also want to ask the question, not just what did Jesus do, but why did he do it? Because all of us have things that we do. All of us have responsibilities that we have to do. And many of us are reluctant to do our responsibilities. And if we even if we're not reluctant while we're doing them, maybe we're not very happy about it. But this wasn't Jesus' attitude. Jesus didn't wake up in the morning and say, oh man, I got to go heal all these people today. He didn't wake up and say, oh, I got to teach in the synagogue and I taught the same message last week and they weren't ready for it then and they're still not ready for it now. He didn't approach it with frustration. Jesus' approach to all three aspects of his ministry all the time looked like this. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. He didn't see a crowd as a giant mess. He saw each individual and he was brokenhearted for their hurt and their suffering. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They were unprotected. They were in trouble. And he was heartbroken for them. And so his response is this ministry that he comes out to do. His response is to teach, to bring that revelation. His response is to proclaim the good news so they can be transformed. And his response was to heal them so they could be set free for the kingdom that they were called to.
I really love that change in perspective, that everything that Jesus did was motivated out of compassion. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like, oh, this is my job, I got to fix this mess, and I got to... He just had so much compassion. Everything he did was out of love. Yeah. So then we move on to the next section. And that next section, I'll read it to remind you. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. That's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. He says, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest and send out laborers into his harvest. When we see this phrase, we see that Jesus is saying something to us. He's saying, all this stuff I've been doing, it's not just my job. I'm not a one-man show. This is not, I can't complete this work on my own. I need more laborers to finish this work. And he's saying, join with me to pray for more laborers, because this isn't a one-man show. He needs people to join with him in the things that he is doing.
Jesus started a pattern at the very beginning of what we call the church. And the pattern was this. He didn't come down with this giant right in the sky, write it on the clouds, I am the Lord your God, come in and see me. He came down as a person like us. And he began to build relationships with people like us. And he then empowered them and sent them out to go and share that kingdom with everyone on this earth. Go. She's inspired.
So the verse that we're talking about is Matthew, but we also see a parallel. We see the same story told in Luke. And in Luke, when Jesus says, pray for the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers into his harvest, the very next thing that he did that is recorded is that he sent out 72 to go out and continue doing the things that he was doing. So that began a heritage of what the church has become today. It's a training and equipping and a sending out. And that's what the church today is, that's our heritage.
Mm-hmm. Anybody know who that is? Who wasn't in the first service? North Rock Four Square Church. That is Sister Amy. Sister Amy McPherson. The founder of the Four Square Church. Does anyone know what Amy did before she began her ministry in Los Angeles? She was a missionary. Amy, years and years later, after what Christ did to begin our church, was sent out as a missionary. We as a movement have a heritage of mission, have a heritage of missions. And not because there is a great task to be done, but because we have great compassion for the world around us that needs a loving and compassionate God.
So 14 years ago, these two young kids were sent out of a small church in North Glen, Colorado. From a church in North Glen, Colorado. And we went to northern Thailand to work with the Akha people. And I want to just tell you a little bit of a story about how we got there because it speaks to that compassion. I grew up wanting to do missions. God gave me a heart for missions from the time that I was really young. And so when I was a junior high or in high school, I began to learn Spanish in school. And I started going on missions trips to Mexico and to Honduras and to all of these places with a heart for missions. And then I met this guy, and he had a heart for Thailand. And God had spoken really clearly into his life that he was to go to Thailand. And he had this laser focus. And I was like, I really like the guy, but I'm not sure I want to go to Thailand. And I'm really not sure I have a heart for Asia. I feel zero passion for it. That just seems really foreign, and I know people in Honduras and in El Salvador and in Mexico. I know that, and I can communicate with them. But one day, Paul invited me to come to a church service, and there were some missionaries speaking from Thailand. Actually, one was a missionary. One is an American woman from Colorado, but she had married an Akha man. Mm-hmm. And so the two of them had been ministering together for many years. And they came to a church in Arvada, and we were listening to them. And the husband was speaking this day. And so he's an Akha man, and he just began pouring out his heart and telling about his people. And he began saying, My people are hurt, and they're harassed, and they're oppressed. They have the highest rates of prostitution and drug abuse, and they're the lowest of the low. They're looked down upon by everyone. And not only that, but they're under spiritual oppression. They believe that they have to worship the demons, and the demons oppress them, and they're constantly in fear. And as I heard these words, the Lord broke my heart for his people. And I began weeping, and the Lord said, these are my kids, and they're broken, and they're oppressed, and I'm going to send you to them, to work among them, to show them how much I love them. So God changed my heart, and he gave me his compassion, and that made all the difference. Y'all, I couldn't have done anything that we did without that compassion as a motivator.
That's right. The Akha people live in five nations in Southeast Asia: China, Myanmar, Laos, Vietnam, and Thailand. Those five nations, only one of them is it free and open to share and preach the gospel. The other four nations are either communist or dictatorships where spread of the gospel is very restricted. So we've been permitted and called to serve the Akha people in northern Thailand. As we've gotten to know them, there are 2.5 million of them, as we said. We haven't met all of them yet, but we've met several of them. They've become friends and family to us. We didn't go saying, we have something great to give to you. We went to say, we have come to become a part of you. And that's really what Jesus was doing, right? When he came, he started this ministry and said, this is the ministry that we all get to be a part of. So Jesus released Lori and I into a ministry of teaching, proclaiming, and healing, working with the Akha people.
So when we first arrived in Thailand, we knew we wanted to work with the Akha people. We wanted to learn about these people and bond with them and become and understand their culture from the inside. And we also wanted to learn the language so we could communicate with them. And really the only way to learn the language is to be completely immersed. You know, now we have apps to like learn. There's Duolingo and Drops and all these cool things where you can learn languages right on your phone, but there's no app for Akha. So we just had to go up, and we lived in a village. We lived in a bamboo hut with dirt floors and grass roof, and we started from scratch. And we were like small children. We didn't even know how to say mama and dada. We didn't know how to say this tastes good or no thank you or... You know, any of the just the basic things that even a small child knows how to say. Yeah. We had to learn all the basics of life, like, you know, how to take a shower in the village, how to wash our clothes, how to take our dishes and wash them at the communal water source. And so it was a huge transition for us. And in that process, all of our dreams of going and preaching the gospel changed significantly because we were not equipped to preach or to teach or even to disciple at that time. But what we realized early on was that we did have enough language to love people. And one of the biggest needs that we saw during that time was the physical hurts of the people in our village. They were very, very poor. And we just saw many, many things that were simple problems. And we said, hey, you know what? An Advil is going to help you a lot. Mm-hmm. And I happen to have some in my backpack. And so we could read on the back of the label that says, take 1 to 2 every 4 to 6 hours for pain or fever. And that was more education than what most of our friends in the village had. And so we began to... help our friends out. And it one thing led to another, and doctors came out and began training us and to diagnose and to treat different things, you know, beyond just the headache and the muscle aches that we saw most of the time. And we began to see, we began to treat Hep A and pneumonia and boils and all sorts of different things that were common in the village.
That picture on the right is the culmination of this. After several years of training, some dentists came out and they said, you know, one of the biggest problems that we see in this area is bad teeth. And so you guys should learn how to pull teeth. And we said, no, thank you. And then after Lori had become really exposed to so many things in the village and so many hurts and problems, a year later when they came back again, they offered again, and we said, okay, I think we're ready. So the two of us were trained and learned how, it's called exodontia. We learned how to pull teeth and began a ministry where people would come to our hut and we would pull teeth. And we share that really because it really is a picture of the healing that Jesus gets to bring, that Jesus brings to us. Because people would come, and I don't know if you've had, I had a root canal several years ago. It's miserable. You can't sleep. You can't see straight. Your head hurts so bad you can't do anything. Toothaches are miserable. And these people would come to our home, and they'd had these toothaches for weeks or months. And they were miserable. and an hour later they would leave, and that pain was gone, it was never coming back. See, that's freedom. That's the freedom that we get when real healing occurs in our life. The pain goes away, and it's not coming back, because we've been legitimately set free. So we got a chance to partner with Jesus simply with some physical healing stories at the beginning, but we've gotten to see more healing as time's gone on. We want to pause for a moment in our sermon to share a story of a young couple who we love very much. This is Aja and Nini. We'll talk about Nini a little bit more in a moment. Aja is a dear friend of ours who has had the enemy attack him many times, and many attempts have been made on his life. They are recently married. We actually performed their wedding ceremony last December. They are expecting their first child in October. We're thrilled for them. But yesterday we received news that Aja is in the ICU. He's had dengue fever. Dengue fever has caused some of his organs to malfunction. His heart has stopped. He has stopped breathing. They were able to revive him, but he's still in the ICU. So we're going to ask North Rock Church to pause for a moment with us, and we're going to partner with Jesus in his practice of healing. And in this service, I'm actually going to pray in Akka, and Lori will pray, will translate for us into English. But if you guys would just go before the Lord with us right now.
Father in heaven, we worship your name. God, we just lift up Aja to you this morning. Father God, we surrender his body, we surrender his sickness, we surrender all the things that are happening in his body right now, and we say, with your power, heal him. You are the good God. You are our Savior. Because of you, we are healed. So, Father, we ask this. Heal Aja's body. Heal it completely, Lord. God, you are the good healer. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. So after about 7 years, we learned how to speak Akka a little bit. and the Lord called us to begin a new portion of the ministry. And this was really, really where the proclaiming the good news part got to come out. We got to partner with Jesus in how he proclaims good news. This is my media team, a bunch of Akka friends, who had no exposure to cameras or computers or anything, but knew the Lord and know their people. And so over the past 7 years, we've built up a team where now they create gospel content in the Akka language in a form that can go out to the nations where it's not even safe for them to go, where their brothers and sisters in China and Vietnam and Laos and Myanmar can hear the gospel from their own people in a way that brings real transformation.
And then we've also had the opportunity, since we've learned the language, to begin something that's really close to our heart, mm-hmm. is the teaching and the discipleship and the preaching. And this is really important in Thailand, especially because Thailand already has an established church. The Akka in Thailand are about 30% Christian. But that church is very young. It's only the first or second generation. So they've only had church as we know it for 30 years. This church here is 30 years old. Imagine if this was the oldest church in America. Mm-hmm. So that's a really big change in perspective of what a church, what a body of believers needs. Yeah. And so we were really grateful to partner with Jesus in being able to bring information to the believers who are already there. We've gotten the opportunity opportunity to do that in many different ways. We've preached in churches, in ACCA churches, and we've taught at women's retreats and men's retreats. I'm super proud of Paul because he's been a professor at an ACCA seminary for the last 3 years. So he's been their professor of Old Testament, and he's taught Bible students from the ages of 18 to 22 in ACCA. So he's pretty amazing. And that's a really awesome way that we've gotten to partner with Jesus in building up the church in Thailand.
Translation is a really neat thing. Because translation happens when, I don't know if any of you recognize Pastor Ben from Sterling Foursquare, when someone who doesn't speak a local language comes out with a message to be shared, they need somebody, like the beautiful woman standing next to him, to take the words that he's saying and communicate them in a way that can be understood by the audience there. And most of what we all get to do in ministry is really just translation. Because most of what we all get to do in ministry is this: we get to hear from God. We get to hear from Jesus, and through the instruction of the Holy Spirit, we're transformed and empowered. And then we get to share that with the people around us. It's not trying to say, I need to have everything figured out and I need to have the Bible school degree and everything in place. It's saying, these are the things that the Lord has done in my life and I get to share them with you. That's why we get to share so many stories with you while we preach this morning. Because we're sharing with you the goodness of what God has, the goodness of God and what he has done around the world.
So as we conclude this section, let's just look back again. Jesus finishes this section with this command. And he says to us, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. When he's saying this, it's almost a desperate cry. He's seeing the difficult situation that the world is in. Also, when we think about agriculture and harvest, if any of you have ever been part of an agricultural community, when the crops are ready for harvest, you got to harvest them now, or else they're going to get eaten, or they're going to rot, or they're going to get rained on, or something. It is an urgent call. And so this command that he's giving us, it has this sense of urgency and this sense of dire need. And so I want to convey that to you so that when we think about this verse, we remember with compassion the huge need that's in the world and the brokenness and the hurting people, and say, wow, there are just not enough people out there to complete the work that Jesus has begun. He is calling for us to join with him, to pray that more people would come. So we have this sense of urgency and this need. But that's not where this sermon ends today, because we also have victory. Amen. In Christ.
Amen.
So we want to keep both things in perspective, both sides. We want to keep that urgency and compassion for the people around us. But then we also have this verse, Psalms 2:8. And this is God speaking to us. And he says, ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, and the end of the earth your possession. So I see this kind of the opposite side of the coin. Instead of this like pleading, begging, like send out more laborers, we don't have enough. Mm-hmm. I see this as a picture of the king and his son and his daughter, the prince and the princess, are coming before him. And he's telling them, you know what? You're my kids. Ask of me, and you're going to get it. All you have to do is ask. And that's what God is saying to us. He's saying, all you have to do is ask, and it's going to be done. So there's this incredible sense of victory that he's also giving to us. So we want to remember that compassion, but we also want to ask in confidence,
right,
knowing our place, knowing our authority as kids of the king.
Amen. Lori and I have been going through another season of change and transition. And this passage has been a big part of that for us. As we begin praying this passage, and it's really simple. The Father says, ask me and I will give you the nations. It seems like we should do that. So we began to practice this. And as we did this, the Lord kind of lifted up our heads and he began to say, you know what? That love and compassion that I have for the Akka people, that love that I have for the people I created that you've learned as you've met my Akka people, I have that love for everyone. I have that love for all the nations. And so our heads are getting lifted up and we're beginning to look around our region in a new way.
So when we go back to Thailand in August, I'm going to be having the opportunity to work at Chiang Rai International Christian School. We call it CRICS. It's kind of a funny acronym. I'm really excited. I'll get to be volunteering as a 10th grade Bible teacher and 12th grade Bible teacher. And this is so fun because I get to share that good news. I think a lot of people, everybody, but teenagers included, sometimes think that God's kind of grumpy and in a bad mood. And I love just saying, I love changing that perspective for them and saying, you know what, God is in a great mood and he loves you and he wants to be in relationship with you.
Amen, amen. And you saw my media team earlier, and the husband and wife that I showed you the picture of, Aja, who we prayed for. Well, the wife has taken over that media team. So now that is an Akka team that is reaching the Akka with the Akka gospel. And so the Lord is freeing, amen, that's a good thing. And so the Lord is freeing me for a new season as well. And so moving forward, I will be looking in this region of the world, locally working with Akka churches, and internationally working with national leaders and church leaders in eight nations in the region. Eight nations in this area have a population of 400 million people. That's as many people as live in America. And most of them have never heard the gospel. But the Lord loves every single one of them as much as he loves you and me and as much as he loves the Akka people. So the Lord is asking us to step out into the nations that he desires to bring.
So as we close up our time with you today, we want to give you a challenge as a church body. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to join with us this week and do something that we've been doing for about a year. And we've set these two alarms on our phone, one at 9:38 and one at 2:08. And we set the one at 9:38 and put a little note on it that says, laborers for the harvest. And one at 2:08, 9:38 reminds us that that's from Matthew 9:38, just for clarity there. And then 2:08 is from Psalms 2:8, and that's the nations as an inheritance. And this is just two little points in our day where our phone dings, and whatever we're doing, we stop and take 10 or 15 seconds or 10 or 15 minutes, depending on what we're doing at the time and what our day looks like, mm-hmm. to pray for those things.
Mm-hmm. And when we give you this challenge, this invitation to partner with us, really over this next week, especially North Rock, we'll be praying with you at the same time. But our encouragement is don't let this turn into a practice. Don't let this turn into a mindless practice. Oh, it's time to do this. It's my duty. Remember, it's not just what we're doing, but why we're doing it. So in that morning one at 9:38, when you pause, look around you a little bit with some compassion. Connect to the Father and say, Lord, they need workers. The harvest is ready. Send them. Send me. How am I supposed to be a part of that? And then at 2:08, don't approach it as a duty. This is what I have to do, like mowing the lawn. This is the child of the king walking into the throne room and saying, Father, you said to ask you, and you will give me the nations. I stand on that right now, and I ask you, give me the nations, not for my kingdom or for my glory or that my name would be known, but that your kingdom would be expanded, that your life would come, and that through the teaching of your word, we might have revelation. Through the proclaiming of the good news, we might be transformed. And through the healing that you have for all of us, we might be set free. So we might really see heaven on earth right now. Amen? Amen. I'd like to pray for us all as we close. If the worship team wants to come up, that'd be great. As I pray, I just ask that you guys would just examine yourselves this morning. And from a state of humility, receive the gifts that the Lord wants to bring. Father, you are so good. Goodness doesn't begin to describe the great things that you have for us. The great things that you have prepared, because your kingdom is a kingdom where love flows from us, through us, to everyone around us. Lord, your kingdom is a kingdom where every need is met. Your kingdom is a kingdom where there's no lack and no loss. So we call your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you for North Rock. We thank you for the heritage that they have. We thank you for the years that they have sent out missionaries, that they have planted churches, that they have faithfully served you. We thank you for 30 faithful years. But Lord, we say this is not the end. We say this is not the end. This is still the beginning. And Lord, all the people in this room this morning, whether they have been a part of this church for many years or whether they're first time here this morning, Lord, they're stepping into a heritage of good things that you have prepared for them. And I ask that you would pour them out upon them. Lord, I ask that you would send out these people as your laborers into the harvest. Lord, not with the things they're not equipped with, but that you would equip them to meet the people around them, that you would equip them to meet the call that you have set before them. And Father, every single one of them, as your children, we as a community of your children, we as the body, Jesus, your bride, we come to you and say, you desire to give us the nations and we desire that they would be ours. Not that we would expand our own name or our own kingdom, but Jesus, that your name would be lifted up, that your name would be known, that your light and life would bring freedom to this world. Holy Spirit, we receive what you have for us. Empower us that we would go out of this place ready to be your laborers in the harvest that are outside these doors. Thank you, Jesus. It is in your name we pray. Amen.
Oh, man. Paul and Lori, thank you so much for bringing both the encouragement and the challenge to us. I hope that you were encouraged by their story. Were you encouraged? Yeah, and I hope they were challenged, not just in setting our alarms, which I did, by the way. My alarm is set. I'll be praying these prayers with you. I've accepted the challenge, but also just in their heart for God's people. Thank you for being sent out and then coming back and depositing a gift back in us. So we love you, we pray for you, and we're very thankful for your ministry. I did want to mention as we dismiss that Paul and Lori have a table back here that have some of the things that they, I don't even know how to describe them, but information about their ministry and some of the things that they're actually selling, I believe, to help further the ministry that they're doing there in Thailand. So if you could take the time, go back, say hi, get a chance to meet and greet them. Also, I hear that he's a pretty good dentist. If you're needing any teeth work done, he can at least give you a consultation, okay? With that being said, let's stand and we'll dismiss in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love over us. Thank you, Lord, that you are in this place and that you have sent your own son that we would have life. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your ministry amongst us. We thank you for the testimony and the faith that was shared today. And Lord, we just pray that we would continue to see your hand at work in our midst, around the block, and around the world as we join in with what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey, God bless you. Thank you for being here at North Rock today. We love you. Please, again, say hi.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.